Hey, Danger Danger is here with a special Halloween announcement. Part one of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show.
Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well, then Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty-gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials, so stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
Call of Cthubidu is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror mystery intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the Hex Girls!
When you hear something go bump in the night, or you swear you're being watched by disembodied eyes, and you're not sure if you can make it out alive, you gotta decide to run or fight for your life.
Hello and welcome to Call of Cthubidu, a comedy horror mystery real play podcast loosely based on Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition and starring everyone's favorite meddling kids and their dumb dog. I'm Danger Dangers, and I'm your host slash crypt keeper of arcane lore.
Hi everyone, I am Aaron. I play Fred Jones, our taxi driver, van driver, and intrepid leader of the crew. Last time, gosh and golly, I tried to throw a little fisticuffs with a monster, got gored just a little bit, but I used that to my advantage as I ruined the sanity and lives of multiple people with my organs.
They just wanted some malts and shakes and burgers and...
And camping by a scary meteor. Yeah, I know. It's poor squad. But we escaped from the dangers of the malt shop, and we ran into perhaps the sketchiest individual known to man, which is not the current capitalist, but the capitalist to be. And then we lost Scooby in a spiritual way.
Hello, I'm Grayson, and I play Velma Dinkley. Last episode, I got very lucky with a lot of flying Dinkleys. It was a little ridiculous.
Who knew that one single episode of What's New Scooby-Doo would be so impactful on this whole story?
Would save us all.
I was dying at how successful it really was, but I'm willing to bet money that that luck is not going to carry over. So I'm just going to say good luck and Godspeed to the rest of us and the rest of this investigation. And poor Scoob, like, he's not hungry anymore. Like, what the duck?
The whole Scooby thing kind of like threw me.
Oh. Hi, everyone. I'm Ben Magnet. I play Shaggy Rogers, like the coolest guy ever, man. And last time, after running away from a monster and getting damn lucky with my dice rolls and just bolting out of that malt shop, we come up to the Coolsville Crater, where there's a bunch of Boy Scouts and CEO wannabe Sammy Davis Jr. essentially comes up and starts to try to pawn his knockoff bullshit Scooby snacks on me. And I try to give him what for.
Also, Sammy Davis Jr. is the dog.
Ah, never mind. Anyways, the heir apparent to Davis Delights, who's also a scoutmaster, came up, tried to pawn his new snacks on us. And I was like, no, because, you know, Scooby doesn't like vanilla. And if Scooby doesn't like it, I don't want to eat it. And then when he saved us all from wolves and he lost his appetite. Oh, no, it's bad vibes, man.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz, and I'm playing Daphne Blake, the proof that capitalism does work. So I don't know why we're sus of the other capitalist or the heir apparent to a capitalist industry.
I didn't say I was sus.
I got to show off my awesome 60 stat in karate and totally whiffed it. That was a very strong table.
It was a really good table.
People need to study that table.
It was a really, really strong table. It was like bolted to the ground or something.
Then we left for the crater and very concerned for Scooby.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jordan and I play Ruby Dooby Doo.
Oh, no. Don't do that to us.
So last time we were escaping the malt shop and I was very happy with my techniques on how we got out of there. Unfortunately, Fred went down and Scoopy was a very brave little boy and managed to drag Fred bleeding out of the malt shop and we managed to make our escape. I think we did leave that one girl behind. I forget her name, but she's probably
Stacy,
dead now.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Like Stacy Tired.
R.I.P. Stacy retired.
It's fine. She wanted to lie to us.
Oh, it's fine when all of you say it.
But then, yes, we went to the campsite where the meteor that seems to be, in theory, the source of all the weirdness happening here, went to investigate, tried to talk to the kids. Some weird wolves were coming out of the forest. So Scooby had an idea, take that weird jank knockoff Scooby snack that smells of Rinrilla to try and lure the wolves away. But by speaking to the weird transforming wolves and being in such close proximity to the meteor, something changed in poor Scooby-Doo and my 90 sanity stat did nothing because I rolled a 100, which was just as much as a failure you could possibly get, and rolled exactly the amount I needed to put myself into indefinite insanity. So Scooby-Doo no longer hungers. And I think, if I remember right, may start developing hallucinations. So that'll be fun. Whee!
It will. And with that, let's dive back into the horrors.
Woo!
So, before we jump back into the story and the mystery solving, Scooby, gonna give you a little consolation prize for all of that sanity loss.
Oh.
Because of that extreme exposure to the meteor dust, I want you to go ahead and roll a D8.
4.
Oh my god, of course you rolled a 4.
What is it? Is it good? Is it bad?
So, what you were rolling for as a side effect of your exposure.
Oh.
You learned inherently one random spell.
Oh,
interesting.
Which, just as a quick explanation, the way that magic works in this system, all of the spells have a magic cost. Everyone has a certain amount of magic points on their stat block. If they don't have enough magic points, they can substitute health points. But all of the spells have various different rules and everything. It depends on the specific spells. The one that you got, you rolled the spell Cloud Memory.
What is that?
It blocks the target's ability to consciously remember a particular event.
Oh, that's the opposite of what we need. God damn it.
Oh, man.
The spell cannot restore any lost sanity, but it can block out certain traumatic information from someone's head.
Interesting. Okay.
Could it maybe block out certain memories that might induce a lack of appetite?
I don't know if I can put it back, but maybe if we're interrogating someone and they're like in shock, I can temporarily block the shock away to get that information.
Almost like that spell Calm Emotions or something.
I'm also thinking if we heck it up really hard, like Fred tells somebody's dead.
Why is it gotta be Fred?
just no reason. Yeah.
Just random person drawn at random.
If that rare thing should occur, I could possibly cloud the memory of them knowing a horrible death has happened and we could get some more information out of them, potentially. Neat. Okay.
So, now that you have gone through this traumatic experience and gained the ability to protect people's brains from more traumatic experiences,
I can spare others from what I went through. Very nice.
Scooby's edgy arc begins.
You can't stop me. I gotta be a depressing dog. It's my brand.
So now that that's out of the way, I believe you were discussing whether you would split up and look for clues.
Oh, yeah. That sounds right. Mm-hmm. I believe I nabbed the ladies, and I'm sending Scooby and the dog off to... I don't really care.
Where are you going, though?
We're going back to Snacks, Corey, because after looking at the, air quotes, original Scooby Snacks box, there's a lot of things wrong with it, because Shaggy knows a lot of Scooby Snack history.
Mm. We have business to attend to.
And I believe we're going to the National Exaggerator.
Ew. Heck yeah.
Who wants to go first?
I mean, I really like being Fred, so I'm down.
All right, so we will go ahead and have Fred, Velma, and Daphne head off towards the National Exaggerator.
Alrighty.
While Scooby and Shaggy bum a ride with the Boy Scouts back to camp and hoof it on foot back to the Snacks Corp factory.
Mm-hmm. Sad, they don't even get a ride back to town.
No, we don't.
Terrible.
So Fred, as you are driving and making your way back through and continuously bleeding out, please roll your drive auto stat.
Oh, gods. I forgot. Okay, oh my god. Okay, well. It's a 60.
That is just barely a success.
No, sorry. My stat is a 60, I should have specified. The roll is a 28, so.
Hey!
Oh, hey, that's a hard success.
That's right, you have like really good luck with this.
I always roll low, you fools.
Yeah. So, making your way through the city streets, that little bit of lightheadedness and wooziness actually gives you a strange amount of clarity as you are driving down the streets. So you are somehow driving even better than normal.
Hell yeah.
I'm not reading a pamphlet this time. You know, I can't read right now, a little blurry vision, so it's fine.
Oh, my God. Oh, not being able to read is going to suck going to an actual newspaper.
For flavor.
So you pull up to an old, somewhat defunct news station. It is still in operation. It's seen better days. And there's not a lot of activity going on in the newsroom. As you start to make your way up the stairs, you see one reporter that is scrambling around the office as you hear from a corner office the belligerent shouts of the editor-in-chief, "I don't care if it's an active crime scene. I want pictures of Scooby Snacks."
Yeah.
So Sam Schlock, get out of my face and get down to the Snacks Corp factory or you're fired. Actually, scratch that. You're our only reporter. If you do that, you're fired and then rehired at a lower wage. Now get out of here.
Please tell me this guy is voiced by J.K. Simmons.
He would be if I could afford J.K. Simmons.
Good.
And this frazzled reporter, Sam Schlock, bolts out of the office of Snoop's Byline, bolts past all of you, and is just kind of muttering to himself, "Man, I know we've gone downhill, but they're just letting any old kids off the street in here these days."
Excuse you?
I'm excused.
Oh, I was expecting a retort sooner than that. I was scared or not.
Gosh, hi, Snoops. You know, if you want the real news, it probably happened at a malt shop just now.
Fred, honesty, not always the best policy.
Snoops sticks his head out of his office window, narrows his eyes, and says, well, if it isn't the owner's son. All right, what nonsense do you have for me this time? And you better not have that bespectacled kid with you.
You're a very bad reporter. I'm his nephew.
Whatever, all you kids look the same to me anyway.
Daphne looks at Velma, looks at Fred.
The same.
Fixes her hair a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Hair smacks me in the face.
If you're here to issue a retraction, just know that we throw all of those away. And then as you look over in the corner, there is a trash bin that is filled to the brim with letters from Velma about corrections that are all unopened.
God damn it. I'm going to go to the trash can and just throw it in his office.
Maybe if you read some of this, you'll actually have a good newspaper instead of this disgusting trash.
Velma.
Roll intimidate, and this is a hard check.
Oh, yeah. Let's do this. Hell yeah, that's a 33, baby.
And your intimidation stat is 15, so that's a fail.
Yeah, it is.
So Snoops, as you throw the trash in, does not hear a single word that you say as he immediately starts barking at Fred. All right, kid of the owner, you need to clean this up right now or you're fired.
I don't think you understand the unhealthy nature of our power dynamic, friendo.
I don't think you understand how little of a shit I give, friendo. Now clean this up right now and get the hell out of my office. You're fired. Actually, you don't work here. Do you want a job?
Honestly, I can't think very hard right now, and I'm going to bleed a little bit onto his desk.
Just like pop the cork for a second.
Well, this blood's coming out of your paycheck. You're hired. Your starting salary is zero. Now get out of here.
Can I start going through like the most recent paper that maybe he printed this morning?
Sure. You can find just sitting out throughout some of the desks. You can find a handful of today's paper.
J.K. Simmons was throwing me through a loop. Oh, pop up.
So you should be able to, if this worked correctly, you should be able to now see that article and can read it for yourself.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Oh, ooh.
Very cool.
Ooh.
Lorem ipsum.
No, that's the Necronomicon.
Oh, buddy.
Person of the Week, Steve Davis, Boy Genius. The National Exaggerator takes advantage of the designated weekly profile story to spotlight an icon, nay, a hero. Ugh. Steve Davis, heir to the Davis Delights Dog Treats Company, one of the most promising young minds in Coolsville, I'll say. We have reason to believe that this Eagle Scoutmaster is the mind behind the recent rebranding and revitalization of their flagship product, Sammy's Surprise. I'm normally not much of a fan of meddling kids. Oh, God, he's still on this again. But this one meddled in the brilliant way of challenging Snacks Corps to their own game. Just in time for this soon-to-be takeover of the company as his father and current CEO Scott Davis transitions into his new role as the recently elected head of the Coolsville City Council. Steve made the bold move of their new retro formula that captures the classic taste and flavor of the 1963 formula and improves upon it in every way. I highly disagree with that. Take that, Constance McSnack. That sounds, was it libel? And watch out for the tiny tycoon that is Steve Davis.
And as you are reading through all that, he is actively pushing you out of the office with a push broom as he is kicking out the trash, too. And he slams the door, and you can hear muffled through the door,
"And stay out!"
And then as you are kicked out onto the floor, a slightly taller, slightly grayer, blonde-haired man walks in through the side door, takes a look at you and says, "Well, gosh, Freddy, I wasn't expecting to see you today. And golly, it looks like you're bleeding out."
"Gosh, sure am, Uncle Eddie. Bring it in."
Oh, don't hug him. Don't hug him.
He gives him the bloodiest hug.
You can see as like the hug squeezes, just like a little bit of organs pop out for a second, like a squeeze toy.
No.
"Well, golly, this doesn't seem particularly healthy. Maybe you should get yourself to a hospital."
"You're probably right there, Uncle Eddie, but I don't think that the gang does hospitals. I watched a lot of the show."
"All right, well, it's your funeral. Now, what can I do for you?"
While this is going on, can I look for, like, a janitor's closet to, like, find duct tape for Fred? I just want to, like, try and duct tape his stomach closed.
All right, let me see what the appropriate stat for that is.
Roll electric repair.
Isn't there like a first aid?
There is a first aid stat. So you find the janitor's closet, get a couple of ramshackle supplies together, roll first aid with a penalty die.
Oh.
Because You're MacGyvering some health tools for Fred.
Ooh, that's actually not bad. Because, oh wait, I take that back. I read it upside down.
Oh,
it was
God,
already
no,
like...
No.
It was already an 81. And I think I have a 50.
All right. So, with that failure, Fred does not take any additional damage.
I was afraid of that.
Good. Thank God.
But he does not benefit whatsoever from you trying to duct tape him up and using just whatever janitor supplies.
Like I just duct tape the two family members together.
Golly, I knew we wanted to spend more quality time together, but this wasn't what I had in mind.
Gosh, Uncle Eddie, I wish I could say I was here just to hang out, but did you know there's a monster going around killing people?
Really? Is it another guy in a mask, or is it a real monster this time?
Well, takes a look down at my bloodied organs. Undetermined. It's another one for the books. Oh, wait. And then I pull out the notebook and I write down,
oh my God.
Was it a dude that stabbed me? Question mark.
All this happening while they are still duct taped together.
Well, if you have evidence of a real monster in our town, that would be great for our headlines. So if you can just unduct tape me, I'll let you go take a look around in the archives.
Awesome. And I'm just going to, like, Fred strength rip the duct tape off.
Jesus. Love it.
No roll required. You are able to do that.
Woo! Not too faint yet.
He takes you over to a little archive room and opens up the door to let you in. And there's stacks and stacks of old papers and says, feel free to root around for anything you might need. Just make sure that it's a good story.
We appreciate it, Uncle Eddie. And then I'm going to like turn around too fast and like flick blood all over like half of the archives.
Oh my God.
Just little spots everywhere.
No.
You probably shouldn't look at any of those newspapers. We should probably have them disinfected. And so he removes half of the papers that now have blood splatters all over them, not realizing that you are continuing to ooze blood and getting more blood on everything else. And after a few minutes of just a continuous cycle of just absentmindedly throwing papers out of the room, he says, well, gee, this looks like it's not very productive. I'm going to leave you to it and come back later.
Thanks, Uncle Eddie. All right, Velma, would you like to move the plot along or something? I'm going to do some chaos otherwise.
I mean, I'll take my time and start reading through any of this to see if there's any other pertinent information.
So, after spending about an hour or two rooting through some of these papers, you do find another article that jumps out at you and seems relevant as you've been going back to vaguely remembering the date of when the meteor came down.
Oh, okay.
If you want to hand it to somebody else to read, you can.
I vote Daphne. I want to hear the Daphne voice read it.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, boy.
Let me see. The fishmen that roam among us. This town has a monster on the loose, and I don't speak lightly when I say this. Longtime readers will know that I espouse this magazine as being one free of chicanery, hyperbole, and flimflam. We fired that rascal months ago.
Oh, I get it.
Flimflam, I thought he was good.
Yeah.
So, know when I say this monster, this town, I'm sorry, has a monster, I mean it has a monster. It's a pale, slimy man with fins and scales that looks like a fish, but it acts like a menace. And it's stealing your pets and eating your children.
Oh my God.
The government will tell you that the area around the meteor is perfectly safe. But are we really going to trust the same people that have been caught kidnapping our citizens and erasing their memories?
Whoa.
Have they really been doing that? Wait, whoa.
I don't think MK Ultra was declassified yet.
I mean, this is a tabloid, so.
These bozos start messing with the minds of the working class the second we question them about paving the roads. So why would they be honest with us about actual alien invaders, or I guess extra-dimensional entities is the correct term these days? Either way, if it were up to me, I'd march down to that meteor with 2 tons of dynamite and a lit match and rid our town of this scourge once and for all, and I don't exactly have $1 million just lying around. So I guess for now, just keep an eye on your pets and also your children. Editorial by Snoop's Byline. I need people out there at Whoa. Lost myself there for a second. I think I channeled Snoop's a little too hard.
Oh my God.
I really liked it. I thought you crushed it, Daphne. Gosh, golly.
Yeah, Snoop's puts a lot of himself in the article, huh?
And Snoop's Byline pokes into the archive room
and says, "Hey, that sounded an awful lot like me. I've got a vacation coming up and want to fool everyone to think I'm still working. You want a job, kid?"
"No, I can buy this entire business."
"Then buy it or stop wasting my time." And slams the door.
That's actually not a bad idea. Daphne, do you want to buy this and then fire him?
It is incredibly tempting.
"Remember, it's my family's business. We're being a little fast and loose there, team."
Pulls out a checkbook and just starts flipping through it.
And Uncle Eddie pokes his head into the archive room and says, "Golly, did I hear someone's interested in purchasing this business? It's not for sale."
"Okay." Puts the checkbook back.
"Oh, you kids these days. I hope you're having fun looking through the archives."
"We sure are, Uncle Eddie. Gosh, golly, thanks for letting us look through."
"You're welcome. Here's a mop. Just clean up after the bloodstain when you're gone."
"Aye, aye."
I'm going to start making my way out of here.
So, what have we learned? We learned that the National Exaggerator
is very biased.
Is very biased.
It is literally a tabloid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, so there was this thing going around. I suppose the veracity of eating children is unclear. but there was a monster going around right when the meteor hit, and then it must have stopped for some reason briefly until it started back up again.
You do find one more article.
Ooh.
Gosh and golly, it's my turn, isn't it? Oh, it's a shorter one. Ha ha, losers. "Animals are talking and nobody's talking about it. Gosh, what the ding dang diddly darn heck is going on in town these days?"
This was the perfect person to read this one.
Absolutely.
"It seems like every single day we hear a new story from an animal. Not about an animal, from an animal. And everyone's just pretending like this is normal and not batting an eye at the obvious is a long sentence conspiracy that's going on here. Constance McSnack has a lot of explaining to do since this all started when her Scooby Snacks, or should I say snooping rats, started flooding our supermarkets and mutating our pets. Also, the name changed from Snacks with an X to Snacks with a X, and I don't like it. It's pointless change, gosh golly, and if there's one thing we hate in this town, it's change." Editorial by Snoop Spyline.
Brilliant.
So good.
"Wait, I don't know if we established this in the lore, gang. Did Scooby talk before?"
"I thought Scoob has always been able to talk."
As far as you all can remember, Scoob's always been able to talk.
Yeah, even as a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Interesting. Anyway, I'm going to mop up this blood.
And you hear very faintly and muffled from the other room, Uncle Eddie say,
"I appreciate that."
I'm going to miss that man. I don't know that we get to come back, but this has been great.
It's just Fred again.
Well, I suppose after this, perhaps maybe we should check out the library.
Gosh, sounds good to me. I can't wait to bleed on more books.
Maybe we should take you to the hospital, Fred.
No hospitals.
Okay, Fred. No hospitals.
So, I guess I won't explain how hospital mechanics work. I will explain how library mechanics work, though. Essentially, going to the library, it just takes investments of time. So you will make repeated rolls using your library stats in order to hunt for information. On a failure, it's not that you don't find anything, it just takes you longer.
Okay.
So for every failed check, that is half a day that passes.
Oh, shit.
Oh, jeez.
Every successful check, you find just immediately what you're looking for. Either way, you will spend a minimum half a day there, and it's been a few hours at the National Exaggerator. So it will have been close to a day that's passed within the time span of this mystery.
By chance, Daphne, Fred, do you happen to remember if there was anything time-sensitive that we should be aware of?
We have 2 days.
Gosh and golly, those Sammy surprises are going to be hitting shelves in 1 day now.
Yeah.
Well, if you like, you two can focus on anything that's time-sensitive, and then I can do some research at the library.
Works for me. I think we should give a wedgie to that punk bitch, the kid, the Davis Delights kid.
Fred, are you okay? I mean, aside from the obvious.
I think I'm losing a lot of blood there, gang.
Perhaps there's a certain facility that can help with that.
We just established a time limit.
Which, to be fair, you're going to be spending time at the library anyway, and all that going to the hospital takes is time.
Oh my, fine, gang, fine. Hit me to a wall, why don't you? I'll drop y'all off at the library, and I'll swing by a hospital.
Okay, I'm not going to make you roll drive auto because you've consistently aced that.
Pick a lower stat.
You drop Velma and Daphne off at the library, and you make your way to the Coolsville Public Hospital, and you check yourself in. As you walk in through those doors, you hear crackling over the radio.
American Top 40. I'm Casey Kasem.
Good.
Here to bring you the greatest hits of our generation. Casey's Coast to Coast. Now coming in at number 10, having consistently topped the charts for the last 6 weeks, it comes that teen pop sensation, Josie and the Pussycats, with their self-titled hit, Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and the Pussycats, long tails and ears to have.
Golly, I remember hanging out with them. And that radio guy sounds a lot like Shaggy. Gosh and golly, the hospital was a great idea. I gotta tell Velma and Daphne.
Don't turn around.
I would like to walk confidently just into a hospital room and lay down on one of the beds. And just wait for treatment.
So a doctor comes and assesses you, and essentially a day will pass. You will regain a D3 plus 1 HP. As you get patched up, you are no longer actively bleeding out.
Yay!
And the doctor says, as he's assessing your wounds and stitching you up, hey, you know, you need a little bit of extra work done here. I can sense some looming appendicitis going on in there, and you know how those things are. They're just a ticking time bomb. So if you want to spend a little extra time here, we can have that removed. It'll take an extra day, but I'd really recommend it.
All right, gang. You all go solve some of this mystery. I'll catch up with you. Short one-time bomb.
Swear to God, if this series ends with Fred's appendix bursting, I'm going to scream.
Honestly, I didn't expect you to say yes to that. So I was fully planning on having Fred's appendix burst at some point.
Horror!
So while all that's going on, as Daphne and Velma are heading to the library, let's cut over to Scooby and Shaggy, having made their way back to the Scooby Snacks Factory. As you make your way back inside, it is heavily taped up. There are a couple of government agents running around, battening everything down, and Constance is completely disheveled and desperately trying to keep things contained.
Raggy, are you thinking what I'm drinking? God damn it, I hate the voice.
But you're doing it so good.
I know.
Thank you. It's a struggle every time.
Like, we gotta get past these guards and get inside the factory.
Uh-huh.
I look around to see if I could find, like, a locker room or something that I could get into.
Mm-hmm.
You do see nearby a changing room that some factory workers are coming in and out of. You have not yet been spotted.
All right. I want us to, like, xylophone tiptoe our way over there.
Roll stealth.
Okay.
Only one of you needs to succeed this.
Well.
Yeah, my stealth is 30.
Your stealth is 30?
I rolled a 78. I hope yours is better.
No, I rolled a 92.
Oh, it wasn't meant to be.
Burn the luck?
No,
I don't know.
Not that much luck.
It's so expensive.
The commotion of everything going on doesn't get you noticed by Constance just yet, but you open the door just as a couple of factory workers are on their way out. They bump right into you. Hey, you're not supposed to be in here.
Hey, man. Do you know where Bobby is? I'm supposed to come meet him here?
Robbie's in lots of rubble.
I think fast talk would be the appropriate skill here.
That's even worse. My fast talk is a 5.
Oh, yeah, mine's a 5, too.
Anyway, good luck, y'all.
People only understand me when I talk slowly. I can't fast talk.
Three.
Oof, that's a 97. I have the opposite problem of Aaron. My D10s roll high.
Hey, so Jordan, you know how you rolled a 97?
Yes.
Roll a 93.
No!
Good job. Going great, guys.
Why do I roll high when I need to roll low in this game?
With that, this factory worker panics as he hears you say that and says, Robbie's under the rubble. Well, we gotta go save him. And so then he grabs you and begins to sprint out the door with both of you in tow. Tell me, where's the collapse? We need to save Robbie.
It's over that way, man.
Richmond, the rectory.
I don't understand a single word that he just said. Can you translate?
Yeah, it's in the factory, man.
It's in the factory. We need to make our way into the factory to save Robbie from that rubble. And he sprints right past Constance, right onto the factory floor where the machinery is. And as you run through the doors, because you failed so spectacularly,
he's so strong.
You get dragged through the doors and are face to face with the monster.
Oh no.
Who is actively in the process of tearing up the film reels from the video camera storage.
No!
Looks at you.
Damn it.
And then this factory worker says, wait a second, you're not Robbie, and gets tackled by the monster.
Right?
And the two of you.
Sounds like we've got a chase on our hands.
We got a chase.
Oh man.
Not how I expected this to go down, but.
Me neither.
All right, so while this monster is distracted, Scooby and Shaggy, you have a slight lead. So Shaggy, you are first.
Yay!
So what you see before you, as you've been taken into the factory floor, there is a hallway in front of you that splits off in three directions.
Well, when I see the monster ripping up the tapes, part of me is like, 1969, there's no such thing as cell phones. So I was just like, I just yell, Zoinks! Let's get out of here, Scoob! And we just do the famous air, jump in the air, and run away!
All right, so as a reminder for the chase, you have two actions. You can move, or you can do literally anything else as your second action.
I'm going to, first action, I'm going to move to one node here, and my final action, I'm going to go up to this crossroads.
So Scooby, same deal.
Yep, I will follow him to the same node. I don't think there's another path I can take. And I don't have ideas for schemings yet.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to have one action as this monster incapacitates the factory worker, and then another action chasing after you.
Mm.
So he is not on your level. He is one space behind. So now you've got a three-way crossroads. You've got the door and two hallways. So now it's back around to Shaggy.
Okay. So I'm thinking, to try and get as much room between this and the monster, we continue down.
So as you run down this hallway, forking off to the side, you come across a set of stairs with a big hole in them leading up to a catwalk. So you're going to need to do something to get around the broken planks of wood that make up this catwalk.
I see that. I just think, Constance, man, Ocean's gonna have a hell of a field day with this!
Roshi's gonna be mad.
Oh, they are very much gonna be mad, Scoob. Well, Shaggy is a gold medal winning track and field runner. He's gonna run and jump. He's like, you know what? I only got the silver and the long jump, but I think I can do this.
So, yeah, go ahead and roll jump with a bonus die because it is the thing that you are good at.
Yay.
Okay. Oh, okay. I rolled a 60 and a 20.
Hey!
I think that's a hard success because my half is 32 and my fifth is 13.
Ooh.
Yep, that is a hard success.
Heck yeah! Woot. You deserve a goal!
Yeah.
So, with that hard success, as you vault over the broken, crumbling pieces of wood at the edge of this staircase, you will get an extra action.
Yeah!
Hell yeah! Follow me, Scoob! And I just leap over, and I look over, and I heard Scooby say I should have won gold. I'm like, right, I should have won gold in that event! And then I bolt over here.
Yeah!
All right, so you continue along the catwalks down the path. So now it is Scooby's turn.
I know he asked me to follow him, but is there any identifying markers on this door?
Roll luck.
Now, I actually Googled real quick, y'all, and it turns out that OSHA was founded in 1971. So it was probably because of this factory.
Even better.
All right, let me retract my statement. I don't really like the feds, but there's got to be a federal agency to make sure that workplace is safe. This whole catwalk thing is unsafe.
35 on luck. And what I'm hoping this door is, in good old Scooby-Doo fashion, I'm hoping it teleports me to some room randomly. As it do.
As you peek through the door, you see a hallway with several identical doors.
I gotta do it. Oh. I gotta.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That is the way. Divide and conquer, my guy. Divide and conquer.
Yeah, but I don't want to lose my friend.
It's okay.
Oh, trust me, you won't.
Oh, I'm going to swing back around. Don't you worry.
So, with your first action, you run through the door into a hallway of identical doors.
Yay! I guess I run into an identical door.
Heck yeah, you do.
Yeah!
Hey!
Reggie, look at it.
Reggie, I missed you.
I should do that.
You run right past Shaggy as you go through this identical door and find yourself popped out further down the same hallway of identical doors.
You psyched me out, man. I thought I was at that door. Okay, so I take that back. I didn't see Shaggy.
Shaggy is now approaching one of these doors. You may or may not have seen him as you were running past through the door.
As I teleport through the ether.
All right, so now it is the monster's turn. And the monster is going to run after you through the door, and that is two actions. So the monster is a few spaces away as he is desperately chasing down the hallway and confusedly trying to navigate the same set of doors, but popping out of still different doors.
Because he didn't see which door I went in, right?
Nope.
Awesome.
Wee. So Shaggy, now it is your turn.
Door time.
Do I want to go inside this door?
Different door?
I'm going to keep going to see if there's a different door down that way. I'm going to go one more node down this line of this path I'm on.
Okay. You have chosen to turn the corner and run down the other aisleway. So, Scooby, it is now your turn. You can either go through another door, or you can continue down the hallway.
Oh, we haven't been through nearly enough doors yet. Test my luck. Another door, please.
You pop out through the furthest down door in the hallway.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Look how safe you are.
Which is my way of saying that's the last door that I have set up.
Okay, I was starting to hear the exasperation in your voice, so I had a feeling something was up.
Yeah, that's the final door. You can go to the side or you can go forward. There are various hazards in either direction.
Well, looking at our little map here, it feels like going down the hallway gives me the more... Like, I feel like that's heading towards a goal. So I'll head down. What is that?
So as you head down the hallway, you're making your way down through the factory floor, and you see you're walking past a big overhanging crane.
All right.
That is beginning to swing and swivel past you. So you will need to do something to get around the crane.
I'm going to jump and swing.
All right. Roll jump.
All right. That's not bad. I think that's a 3. I think I rolled a 3.
A straight 3?
I think, yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I think that's good.
That is, yeah. That is an extreme success.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. So with an extreme success, as you jump and grab onto the crane hook, you are able to ride and swing it all the way around past where the catwalks let out and are able to leap off onto the luggage that it is about to pick up and move.
Hell yeah.
You not only bypass the entire catwalks by being able to swing on this chain and hook, but you also get one more move because it was an extreme success.
Damn, Scoob.
All right, I guess I walk.
You walk the catwalk.
Yeah, I walk to the right, I think.
All right. So, as you scramble your way over these boxes of luggage, you can see the exit in front of you, making your way back outside.
Okay.
So, next round, you can choose whether to leave the building or go back for Shaggy, but for the moment, you are safe.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I'd want to do anyways, is hang out and wait for my friend.
So now it is the monster's turn, and the monster is going to run down the hallway after Shaggy and is going to turn the corner and follow him down.
No!
Shaggy!
No!
He is out of action, so he cannot attack this turn.
Good. Oh, thank God.
But Shaggy, you will need to get around the monster to be able to do anything. So now it is Shaggy's turn.
So as the monster is on me, I once again just yell, Zoink! And I'm going to... Ooh, do I want to push my luck to see if there's a door in that corner there and get around him? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Odds I go to the left, evens I go to the right. Odds, I'm going to the left.
How do you get around the monster?
What's in the area? Like, is there anything he can use?
The flying Dinkley.
So I could have I don't know if my brain is playing tricks on me, because I think in an episode of Scooby-Doo I saw Scooby and Shaggy ran like Sonic the Hedgehog, but they ran up and around the ceiling.
So you just run up on the ceiling?
I'm so afraid. I run towards the monster, and I instead of going trying to tackle him, I go up the wall and I just try to avoid him and go the opposite way.
Here's the edit that I'll make to that, because you are on a catwalk. Are you trying to basically run over the side of the catwalk, run underneath the catwalk, and then back around on the other side?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. I forgot I was on a catwalk.
Hell yeah.
All right. Roll dexterity with a bonus die.
Oh, we want to see it.
Come on.
Please
come
succeed.
On. Come on.
Good news, guys. My dex is a 90.
Oh, hell yeah.
Come on. You got this.
It is a 63 or a 43.
Ooh.
We love that 40.
It's not a hard, but you know what? I'll take the success.
It is a hard. It is just barely a hard success.
Yes!
Oh, shoot, really?
Yeah, 45 or under is your hard success threshold for that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yay!
So, as you Sonic the Hedgehog run around a corkscrew underneath this catwalk and back up on the other side, the monster is a little bit confused and can't keep up with you. You come back up on the other side past another bit of collapsed walkway.
Yay!
So you've automatically passed through that collapsed hallway, and you get one more action.
Yes, Shaggy!
Holy shit. Okay, I go through this door right here.
So going through the door, you pop out at this door right here.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Oh,
he's right next to the monster.
Shit!
Oh, no.
He just did that whole circuit.
So you've gone full circle, and you are now right back where you were, and you are one space away from the monster.
No, oh, no!
But the monster saw him run forward, so maybe, perhaps, perchance...
The monster is going to be a little confused.
Okay, that's something.
All right, Scooby, it is your turn.
I'm not gonna leave my Reggie behind. I'm gonna run down.
Okay, you're right by the exit. You run down the hallway, and you find yourself right behind a statue that is hollowed out on the back so that you can look out through the statue's eyes and see what's going on.
Yes.
And so you can faintly see, looking through this statue's eyes, as you shift aside these little stone blinders. Your eyes kind of pop out through them, blink, blink, and look around. And you faintly hear in the back of your head what sounds like a studio audience laughing at your antics.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's right.
Okay, so what is sort of like the distance to the door Shaggy's about to go through versus where the statue's at? Am I at a higher level? Am I at a lower level?
You're at a lower level. Shaggy is still currently on the catwalks, so he is above you. You would have to scramble your way back up.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see his proximity to the monster and the imminent danger he's in.
Can I try adding to the... monster's confusion? Can I try and like rock the statue back and forth and go
That feels like a disguise stat.
Yes, finally we got there. Okay, that is a 33.
Woo!
Woo!
So with that, I will say that works, and the monster is now confusedly looking back and forth between Shaggy and this statue.
Okay.
The studio audience continues to laugh. All right, so now it is the monster's turn. I'm going to roll luck to see who he goes after. On a failure, he will go after Scooby. On a success, he will go after Shaggy. That is a 58. That is a failure.
Oh, yeah!
So he is going to, seeing the statue shaking, is going to clamber down the stairs and then will lunge at the statue.
Oh, the stairs didn't take an action? Crud.
The stairs didn't take an action getting up, so they're not going to take an action going down.
Ah, crud.
The stuff that benefits you also benefits the monster.
Ah, dang boo. It. Boo. That's fine.
He doesn't have enough actions to actually do anything to the statue, but he will lunge at it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you back away from the statue a little bit, you can see etched into the side wall next to where the viewport you are looking out of is, there is a list of employee names in two categories that say hard workers and layabouts.
Are there actual names there or nah?
Yeah, wait, is Red Herring a hard worker or a layabout?
Yeah.
I can tell you which one he is now, but what was he?
For sure layabout.
Nice. Nice.
So he never changed.
Good, good.
So now it is Shaggy's turn.
Well, Shaggy being Shaggy, seeing not only that the monster went towards the statue, but also seeing that the statue started moving, I go, so the head factory's haunted too? Oh man, I really gotta talk to Costas about this. I run the opposite direction, the same way I came.
Yeah.
Sweet. So running backwards, you go back the way that you came.
Yep, and I'm back to that catwalk, which I expertly vaulted over last time.
So now it is Scooby's turn.
Okay, well, now that the monster is off Shaggy's tail, I think I'll make my break for it and leave.
Okay, so you're going to run to the exit and scramble out the door?
Yeah, I think so. I bought my friend some time. I hope this is okay.
So, Scooby, you are safe. So now the monster is going to pry the statue away from the wall, sees the secret passageway that it was covering up, and tilts its head in confusion, and then will take one action to move out towards it, looks and sees the lists of names on the side, and then stops to really examine it, scratches its head as it's going, puts a finger to the list, and starts scanning through the names.
Oh!
Now it is Shaggy's turn.
I'm gonna have to vault over that catwalk again.
You got this, buddy.
So roll jump.
All right.
And it was a bonus die before, so bonus die again.
Oh, thank God, because that was a 79.
I like to imagine he is legitimately running backwards and is about to jump backwards the other way.
Oh! So double zeros, it means nothing, right?
Yeah!
That's 100.
Wait. Is it?
Because I rolled a 70 and then the other one's double zero because I have a 9 on my other die roll.
Oh, so that's a 9.
That's a 9.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's an extreme success.
Yeah.
Do you, with Looney Tunes physics, just not even see the hole there and just continue running straight through midair?
100% Looney Tunes physics.
And still running backwards.
Of course.
Yeah. And as I'm running, I'm like, oh man, I can't believe I'm running back the way I came.
Awesome.
All right, and you get an additional action because it was an extreme success.
Guess I'm going to go to the crane.
Swing on the crane.
So you make your way to the crane. You will still have to get past the crane as it is starting to swing back. What do you do in interacting with this crane?
Do I see the door in front, over to the north?
You do.
All right, cool. So I see the crane. I'm going to jump up and essentially Tarzan it over to the door.
Okay. Yeah. So same thing as Scooby. You're going to roll jump to hop on the hook of the crane, grab on, and swing your way to the door.
Hell yeah. That is a 25.
That's pretty good. Come on.
So that is another hard success.
Yeah.
What is with me and my hard successes?
Shaggy is just on a roll today.
On fire. Look at you go.
What? Do this again next week in Deep Dark, damn it.
So with that being a hard success, I'm going to say that you're able to swing on this hook straight through the door and pop out on the other side.
Like, man, that was insane.
So now it is the monster's turn, and the monster, in frustration, is going to tear the list of names off the wall and rip it up.
Oh.
And then is going to angrily charge forward towards the exit.
Oh, no.
And is going to end its turn. So now it is Shaggy's turn.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it!
Is it just waiting for him?
Oh.
No camping, bro.
I know, come on.
It's waiting right by the exit and is looking around trying to find where you went.
Okay.
Okay. I go up to the north, he's going to see me, but there's a pathway to the right, so I'm going to go to the right.
Okay, so going to the right, you run, you're on the floor level again, not up on the catwalks, and you make your way to, as you are frantically trying to run away from the monster, you don't watch your step and find yourself running in place on a conveyor belt.
Oh, fuck you.
Good. Yes. Yes, I'm like, he can't find me here. Wait. Oh, man! As I'm just, like, running in place on this conveyor belt.
All right, and we're going to hop back over to the monster, who hears the commotion going down and will start trying to run after you, is going to try to clamber over a bit of luggage that is in the way that has directly been dropped off by the crane. So he's going to roll to try to clamber up over and get around the boxes of materials. And that is a 97.
Oh.
So as it starts to climb up, the crane is dropping off more boxes, and the monster doesn't get crushed by the boxes, but it does get knocked over and buried by them.
This has become a classic Scooby-Doo chase, and we didn't even mean for it to become a classic Scooby-Doo chase. This is awesome. I love
mean,
it.
I meant for it, but...
You did great.
No one could have seen it coming.
Okay, so Shaggy running in place on the conveyor belt. It is your turn.
All right, so I'm going to try to run even faster to get down to where the statue is.
Okay, roll dexterity.
Bloody hell, dex is 90.
That's good.
That's a 95.
No. Luck, shit. Maybe?
I'm going to push it.
Oh, push it. I forgot about
that.
Okay.
58.
Hey.
There we go. That's better.
That's better. Because I was like, the odds of me getting another 90 are kind of slim, so.
Yeah.
So, as you are running in place and try to pick up your speed, you end up moving the conveyor belt beneath you faster and faster and still stay in place. What do you do on the second time that breaks you out of it and succeeds?
So you know how when you're on the treadmill and you plant your feet on the sides of the treadmill as the thing's going underneath you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't do that because I imagine this belt is wide. Instead, I just run to the side of the conveyor belt if there's like a little border or a little thing that covers the belt, and I just run on top of that.
Very clever. All right, so you do make it off of the conveyor belt and are now in front of the statue, or the hole where the statue was.
Okay, I know Ben knows this, but can I make a roll for Shaggy to see if Shaggy sees a list of names?
Yes. Go ahead and roll, yeah, I guess spot hidden.
Oh, that's 25. Nope, 97.
You've never seen anything.
I just see a hole in the wall, and I'm thinking, I'm going through that hole in the wall.
So with a 97, you run right over the torn up list. A little piece of it sticks to your shoe, but you haven't noticed.
Awesome.
Nope, I haven't noticed. All right, cool. So I run through, and yeah.
And that ends your turn. All right, so now it is the monster's turn. The monster is going to take one action to get back up on its feet.
Oh,
and here's how I'm going to do this. Because you and the monster are exactly equidistant from the exit, you are both going to roll opposed dexterity.
Oh,
Shaggy.
If you can outspeed him, then you escape.
You got this, Shaggy.
Okay.
I mean, his dex is really good. He probably does have this.
Oh, yeah.
And my dex is the 90, but...
Mm-hmm. But my sanity was the 90, so we know how that went.
57.
The monster rolled an 86.
Okay.
Ah!
Ah, so it failed.
So as I see the monster Shaggy somehow, as Shaggy starts running, somehow, some way, he channels one of his favorite comic book characters, the Flash, and starts running towards. And as he's running, he swears he sees a little bit of lightning, and it's like, am I entering the Speed Force, man? And as he's running, he's like, nope, never mind. And just goes out the door, slams it the second he sees the monster come after him.
And then as soon as Shaggy clears the door and slams it shut behind him, I would like to grab boards and hammers and just start nailing up this door.
Good.
Yeah, I've got a little helmet on.
You want to still find Constance?
I think I do, man.
Okay.
If that monster was in there, something's up.
Uh-huh.
And we also got to talk to her about the vault. That original Scooby snack box has been tinkered with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how this is going, Scoob. But maybe we'll just use the front door this time.
All right. And we will jump back to the Coolsville Public Library.
Yay.
Where Daphne and Velma are doing some investigating. As you make your way to the Coolsville Public Library and you walk in, you see this skinny, decrepit old woman sitting behind a desk, hunched over like a harpy, that is voraciously stamping a pile of books. And her face snaps over to the two of you as you are walking in. She pulls down her spectacles, narrows her eyes, and says,
"How can I help you?"
Yes. Hi, Miss Shusham. We need to find a spot that's quiet so that we could do a little bit of research. I have some things that I need to look at.
Say that more quietly.
I see where this is going, and it's a very good thing Fred did not come.
That was my first.
I legitimately had to take a moment to say, wait a minute, you're not Fred. Do not shout golly gee.
<That's suspicious.
laughs> Miss Shusham. We're trying to find a place in order to do a little bit of research, and we just want to make sure that no one bothers us because we're going to be doing a lot of reading very soon.
She slips her spectacles a little bit higher up on her face and points a bony finger to a back private room. There are some public records and things of the like there.
Awesome.
If I find any of our materials to be dog-eared, then that will be the last that anyone ever hears of you.
Before we go, Miss Shusham, I just had a quick question.
State your question.
What foundation are you using? I really think I can give you some recommendations. I can just really pull your face together. I can give you some when we're on our way out.
And then she very lightly starts blushing.
Yeah.
And then pulls up a bony claw-like hand to her face and says,
"Oh, stop it."
Anyway, let's get the lore.
Yeah. Let's get to the lore.
Yeah.
So for the library, you'll be rolling your library use stat.
Okay.
Can I just help Velma? Because my library use stat is library useless.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Velma's going to be the one rolling for this.
Daphne's in the corner with pom-poms, is just silently, "You can do it, Velma. You can do it, Velma."
Daphne will be there to help read aloud the information for the audience.
Exactly.
But not too loudly.
Fantastic. Oh, hell yeah.
So,
whisper aloud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the D and Dark Call of Cthulhu ASMR.
Yeah.
On a success, you will find some relevant information. There's no penalty for failure other than time passes.
Okay. Because I think you said the treats come in like a day.
At this point, you have roughly one day. I'll say for the sake of the timeline, roughly 6 hours passes with every failure.
Okay.
Okay.
So don't so fail. What's your library skill at?
75?
Oh yeah, God, mine's 20. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just a pretty girl. I don't know how to read.
Just your specialty's okay, so crime.
So first roll. Ooh, I'm going to go ahead and burn some luck on that one.
I was gonna say, even with pom-pom Daphne in the corner,
you could just push it.
Ooh, yeah, I think I'll push it.
Okay.
Because originally it was like an 89.
Okay, so you would have had to burn 14 luck to make that work.
It's a big
Velma. Find the books, or I'm gonna have to tell Penelope that we're having troubles.
Ooh, that would be a pretty good tactic, actually.
I mean, honestly,
no. You and I are having trouble.
Oh.
Find the books. Okay. Okay.
Sketch.
Goes back to powdering her nose.
That is a 19.
Woo!
Okay.
With a 19, that is a hard success. So, in addition to the information, you will find an arcane grimoire.
Ooh. Grimoire. Ooh.
Roll a d8.
I don't know if I like that.
If I'm looking over her shoulder, can I do this too?
Sure.
Just like in high school. Copying me. I got a 7.
With a 7, Velma, you now know the spell Deflect Harm.
Ooh.
Ooh.
While you are concentrating on this spell, you can burn magic points as a 1-to-1 ratio to negate damage that another player takes.
That's wow. So
guess
good.
Guess who's gonna need it? This guy.
And then Daphne, what did you get?
1.
You learn the spell Perfection.
Oh, of course.
Wow. Oh, that is too good.
The spell Perfection basically lets you invoke the power of a different god or old one in order to rearrange your stats or the stats of a willing target.
Oh, interesting.
It will lower your power stat, and you can convert those points of power into points in some other stat.
Okay.
But you find that arcane grimoire, and you also find an archived scientific paper about the meteor.
I'm so glad I'm not in any of the reading rooms.
Mm. Daphne, if you don't mind, I'm going to keep on looking.
Sure, sure, sure. Effects of prolonged exposure to meteor dust. Human test trial subjects who were exposed to the gravel and dust created by the Coolsville meteor expressed headaches, nausea, dizziness, and irritability. Over time, this exposure resulted in compounding head trauma and physiological changes to skin tone and texture. Contact is recommended to be kept to a minimum. In animal trials, test subjects exhibited amplified levels of adrenaline and swelling of the prefrontal cortex. Over time, these subjects displayed exponential growth in their cognitive reasoning and problem-solving skills, with extreme cases resulting in self-awareness and the ability to verbally communicate with humans. Signs indicate that affected creatures may also boast a far longer life expectancy, but further time and study is still needed to access the extent of the symptoms. Jeepers, Velma, I think I just cracked some of this.
And directly behind you, Miss Shusham, looms over you, grabs the note out of your hand, and violently says, "Shh!" Places it back down, and slinks away.
I just give her the dirtiest look. Your foundation looks awful. I was lying.
I still need the library.
She narrows her eyes and the lights flicker.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
Make a sanity roll.
Both of us or just?
Just Daphne.
Okay.
22, I'm good.
Sweet.
Okay. You will take 1 sanity loss.
I have been just so lucky on my sanity. I've only lost 2 sanity points this entire thing.
Must be nice.
Anyways, Daphne's going to go back over to Velma and be like, Velma, this is talking about gravel and dust and headaches all coming from the meteor. And I think I might have an idea about what's going on and what we need to do. I have some idea.
Yeah, I think I had some ideas about this myself, and this is actually what I was kind of looking for, but do you want me to spend a little bit more time trying to see if there's any harder evidence?
I think we need to go talk to Steve Davis again. I'm trying to remember from the original Scooby Snack stuff. Did that one have the gravel and dust in it?
I think I still have a vial of like one of the Scooby snacks.
Can we look at that?
Yeah, huff it.
You can. It's very soggy and discomforting.
But here's the thing. Gravel will still like collect at the bottom, even if it's soggy.
It did smell like vanilla too.
Yeah, it is still within the vial.
So
I take the vial from Velma and I kind of sniff over it.
Just be careful with that.
I'm not going to eat it, Velma. I'm
going to drink it, you silly.
You waft it, right? That's what you do with the science stuff? You waft?
Absolutely not.
Well, we take close observation, because if, as it said in the article, prolonged exposure, meaning if it gets inside of you in any sort of a way, so just be careful with it.
Point is, I think we need to meet up with the gang. I think we're ready to crack this case open.
I have 2 more documents.
Okay.
I will give you 1 more of them for free, and then it will require another search for the third one.
I vote that Jordan has to read
No! You guys don't want that, I promise.
It's not even that long.
Local businesses affected by meteor fallout. A number of local businesses and prominent public establishments have been negatively impacted by the arrival of the meteor this last August. The Coolsville Hall of Justice, Hamner's Hardware Store, the Snacks Corp Dog Treat Production Factory, and Kittredge Puppy Farm are among the establishments most heavily impacted by the nearby impact. As a safety precaution, the courthouse proceedings are being temporarily suspended. Kittredge is relocated to another building. Hamner's is being shut down, and the current batch of Snacks Corp's brand new products, Scooby Snacks, are being recalled due to possible contamination from the meteor particles. I want to look up if there is a manifest of the dogs that came from Kittredge.
All right, 6 more hours, baby.
Velma, I need you to do a little more digging.
No problem.
I'm here to give you, I kind of pat her on the head, powder her nose a little bit, make her feel a little prettier.
If that's how it works.
Now, go find that book.
And that is going to be, I think that's a 7. That's a 7.
7!
With a 7, that is an extreme success.
Yeah, buddy.
Give us all your secrets.
I like these dice.
So I will give you 3 things for that extreme success. I will give you the one last document that I have. I will give you the one that Daphne was looking for that I don't have a document for.
And, but you get what I'm getting at, right?
But I get what you're getting at. And you will be able to learn one more spell from the Arcane Grimoire. So roll a d8.
Oh, shit. And then Daphne too?
Why not? The more heavily you guys are armed, the more interesting the hijinks will be.
Right.
I rolled an 8.
With an 8, you get the spell Impeccable Throw.
Awesome.
It allows the caster to throw objects and have them land exactly where you want them to land. They will be redirected in midair to land precisely in the designated area.
The flying deeply.
And I rolled a 5.
Oh my god.
All right, with a 5, you get the spell Steal Life.
Oh my god! What the hell?
Daphne's gonna live forever.
No!
I feel like a lot of these things are specifically tailored for us, yeah. And oddly enough, we're getting them perfectly.
It's really good.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Good.
Vampire.
Cost 8 magic points, deal 1d20 sanity points.
Oh. Holy shit!
Target must be within sight and hearing of the caster. With a success, the target begins to age and decay while yet alive.
Oh my god, Daphne!
This innate life and vitality drain into the caster. Each combat round after the spell is cast, target loses 1 point each of strength, con, dex, power, and appearance. The caster becomes a week younger and regains 1d3 hit points. However, the target withers, turns gray, and flakes away. At the end of the spell, the target has become a horrid dry husk.
Oh my god!
Which costs 1d6 sanity points just to see.
Oh my god.
Oh good, I get to be the freaking You Chose Wisely cup from Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
No.
It is also one of the only ways to heal.
Oh.
Okay, so you get those spells. You find a registry from Kittredge Puppy Farm and look through the S names and see a surprising number of dog names with the initials SD.
Hey, man.
Oh.
But most specifically, the two that you are looking for, you find that both Scooby-Doo and Sammy Davis were raised at this puppy farm.
I'm a meteor dog. I thought I was just special.
And then you find this last little bit of information. This one's very brief.
Your turn.
State of the Snacks Company. Snacks Corp, the darling dog treat company that put Coolsville on the map, reported the highest quarterly profit in 2 years since its founding. Their newest up-and-coming competitor, Davis Delights, is struggling to clear expenses, making Snacks Corp the clear winner of the commercial dog treat war. This is actually what I was looking for as well. Like, I found the two things that I was thinking about.
And this financial report is dated August of 1965.
Not that long ago.
So about 4 years ago is when Davis Delights was going down. Snacks Corp basically kind of like blew them out of the water. And now with the meteor, they're magically coming back.
Velma, I think it's time we get the group together. I think we can crack this case. I think we can solve it.
Absolutely. Let's head on over. Should we go to the hospital and pick up Fred?
Can the mystery machine just like skirt up to the library and like do like a Ace Ventura part?
Absolutely.
Just as the two girls are walking out, just like talking about how we're going to get everybody together. And
golly gee, gang, get in the van.
I just like to imagine that Fred still has like bandages that are like still bleeding through.
He's got like the IV in the back seat.
How much health did you regain? It was a D3 plus one.
Two. I rolled a one.
Oh, buddy.
Okay. You are no longer actively bleeding out, but you can't overexert yourself too much or risk bursting your stitches.
But his appendix is gone.
Yeah, you no longer have that ticking time bomb of appendicitis.
Yay! And also someone can give you health back.
Oh, yeah.
If they want
to. She can slurp it out of someone else.
I'll slurp it out of someone. Don't worry. I'll get you back for it, baby. Oh,
God.
As whoever gets into the passenger side gets in, they see like three different packets of like post-op materials and like all the like receipts from the hospital.
Fred, are you sure you're okay?
Golly gee, I've never been better.
How much, anesthetics are you on right now?
More than I can count.
Okay, that's what I was afraid of.
Well, don't open the glove box. It's full. They'll just start falling out.
Roll drive auto with two bonus die.
Awesome.
I like how the drugs just make him better.
50 is the best one. So it's a pass, but it's something special.
All right. So we'll cut back to Snacks Corp as you all are on your way to pick up Scooby and Shaggy. So Scooby, Shaggy, back in Snacks Corp, now that you have boarded up and completely blockaded the way into the factory floor, how do you proceed?
I look over to Scooby's like, all right, let's maybe like go to the front, tell him why we're here so Constance knows, so we can let her know what's going on, man.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah. So we just like walk up to the security gate. I tell him that I'm Shaggy Rogers. I'm a business partner. I have a contract and I need to see Constance. It's a you know, the whole business day, the thing we probably should have done in the beginning.
We didn't need to do any of that. That's so good.
And the guy at the front desk says, okay, I'll go get Miss McSnack for you.
Thank you.
And then stands up, walks away, and then a few seconds later, walks back with Constance McSnack.
God, that was so easy.
And Constance says, boys, I'm sorry, but you really shouldn't be here right now. Everything's kind of in disarray. It's a very bad time. What do you want? If you're here to renegotiate the contracts, can we please wait until things are sorted out a bit more?
No, Constance, like, we really need to talk, man. It's pretty urgent.
All right, well, come up to my office and we'll chat in private.
Thanks. Come on, Scoob.
Okay.
And as you start to make your way up the stairs, Scooby, you start to hear all of the Hanna-Barbera sound effects.
Oh no! Oh no!
Everyone else seems to be oblivious to it, but you hear the xylophone as you are climbing your way up each of the steps.
Oh no, I'm becoming aware.
Raggy, do you hear that?
Hear what, man?
Rivermine.
And as you look away from Shaggy, and you look down to the factory floor as all of the workers are coming in and out of the locker room, you see some factory workers come in and the Harlem Globetrotters come out. You see some factory workers coming out and the Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt walk in.
Oh my God.
Reggie? Reggie Rook?
What, man?
And Shaggy, you just see regular factory workers.
Oh.
Scooby's having a bad time, y'all. He's going to see Shaggy not react, kind of cock his head to the side. And he's going to, like, play the stairs like a piano. Just keep tapping it to make the sound happen.
I'm so confused.
And you make your way into the office. And she closes the door behind you and says, all right, make it quick. I don't have a lot of time.
When she steps away from the door, I look over and I make sure the door is locked.
Oh, so menacing.
Yeah, door's locked. Shades are down. I'm like, oh, this doesn't have anything to do with the contract, so you can relax on that, man. But put the shit and tell me what's going on.
Catches me off guard every time.
Well, there is no need for that kind of language. Just please be a little more specific.
Oh, ball. So I take the box of Scooby snacks out from under my magic shirt and just
magic
put on the
box
like the original flavor. It's like, you know as well as I do that Scooby snacks have always tasted like butterscotch since the beginning. This box is obviously a forgery. We've never had that tagline. What are you doing?
And as she looks at the box of Scooby snacks, her face scrunches up in confusion. And then her face goes blank and her nose starts bleeding.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, shit. Constance? Constance, what's going on?
Yes, we've always been caramel butterscotch ever since we opened in the 40s. And her nose is bleeding faster and more profusely. And as she's looking at the box, she shakes through, blinks really heavily for a second, and says, no, since we opened in 1963.
What?
No. Snacks Corps has been around since the 40s. Scooby Snacks were a thing since the 40s. My dog is essentially the face of this company now.
Uh-huh.
Roll history.
Oh, wow. Shaggy, you don't know shit.
I'll say roll with a bonus die because it's Scooby Snacks.
No, it's a 5.
I know.
You have a chance.
It's a 50 and the other is a... that's a 60. Yes. Ha-ha, funny sex number. No, it's 59.
I love how you said the funny sex number before you told us what the number was.
We knew. It feels like my spell is a similar thing to what's happening to her. I wish I could do the opposite of what it does.
Scooby, roll occult.
Oh. Okay.
Just do the spell backwards.
Yeah. Oh, it's not good. My occult succeeds a 35 and I rolled a 77. Things aren't going well. I'm gonna push it.
Yes, you push are.
Push it. Push it. Push it.
Y'all are a bad influence. Oh, that's a 70 again. Oh, the same number!
Burn the luck!
No, that'd be all of it! All right, how did I bungle it up?
Oh, it's gonna be so bad.
As you try to focus and use this new spell power of yours, in order to try to break through the haze that seems to be messing with Constance's mind, she begins to seize up. And before she hits the ground, she mutters out, no, that is... the original, 1963, it's all haze. And she flops over to the ground as blood is gushing out of her nose. Both of you roll sanity.
Okay. Oh, wow, my starting is a 40, yikes.
73, but that's still a pass with my stat.
Just barely.
47.
Okay, so Scooby, on a success, you will take 2 points of sanity loss.
Two.
Shaggy, you will take a D6 plus one.
Darn it. Okay. Okay, I'll lose 3.
Very good.
So I'm at 32 sanity now.
And that pushes you into indefinite insanity.
No!
No, Scoob!
Hell yes.
Wait, I get pushed into indefinite insanity?
You have now lost 1/5 of your total sanity.
Oh, no.
Roll a d10.
It's a 5.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, no.
You gotta love that voice.
I know.
The investigator loses their sense of who is significant in their life.
No!
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're killing us.
Why?
I'm tearing this team apart.
Scooby loses his hunger. Shaggy.
And his friend. God.
Good shit.
But yes, Shaggy, as you are traumatized by this, you feel a psychosomatic defense kick in that sort of disassociates you and makes you lose some of your sense of empathy.
Reggie? Reggie, we need to go. Let's go.
Yeah, man. Let's go. And I just, with a blank stare, I just go to the door, unlock it. and I just leave.
Oh, don't do the whimpering.
And then there's the screech of some tires outside.
Yeah. As we xylophone our way down the stairs.
He's so sane, he lost his Cheech and Chong.
You're tearing this family apart.
Get in, losers. We're going to go stop a fish monster.
Yeah.
The most unfortunate thing about all this is that none of us have been around for any of the shit that you've gone through.
Right. So you're just seeing us show up dejectedly.
As I approached the mystery machine, I was like, why go stop? The monster's boarded up inside in the factory right now.
You trapped a monster?
Regesh? I don't know.
Without me?
Well,
Fred, honey, we know where the monster is. You can still set up a trap to catch the monster.
Like, man, he's in there. Go get him if you want. I don't care.
I hate this.
You do have the ability to fix this, Scoob.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
He will not regain the lost sanity.
No, but I'll get my friend back. Anything for Raggy. All right, so cloud memory. Block the target's ability to consciously remember a particular event. The spell costs 1d6 magic points and 1d2 sanity points. If the spell fails, the event in question becomes even more vivid in the target's mind. The spell cannot block knowledge of spells or the Cthulhu mythos unless the knowledge is firmly tied to a specific event, nor can it undo a sanity loss. I will do everything I can. I will spend everything I have.
Okay, so roll power. And Shaggy, you roll opposed.
That is a 31. So that's a hard success.
That is a hard success.
Yes.
Shaggy, what was your power roll?
Four? No.
Yep.
Wow.
Take it back.
I kid you not. Double zero and a four.
That is an extreme success.
So is that good?
No, it's about to get so vivid up in here.
All right, so that memory persists more palpably.
Is this worth spending all my luck on?
All you would need to do is shift this from a hard success to an extreme success.
Okay.
And your success would overpower Shaggy's.
Okay, that's not too many.
So you would need to get it to 18.
Yes, so I will spend 13 luck to bring my boy back.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
Oh, the bond between a boy and his dog.
Where was all this when Imhotep died?
I wasn't there. I would have done everything if I was there.
So this thing that you are forcibly dissociating against, the memory is clouded away. Scooby, Shaggy, if you two would like to describe how that looks.
All right, so Scooby knows something weird is going on with him. He feels the weird power of the meteor, like, manifesting in his brain. He tried to use the spell on Constance, and he didn't use it the right way, and it didn't work. And that scares Scooby, but seeing Shaggy in this state, disassociating, not even afraid, but just like, because being afraid is fine, being afraid is good, but he not wanting to go with the mystery gang, that can't happen. That's not Shaggy. So Scooby stands right behind Shaggy to kind of block himself from everybody else in the van, and his eyes just go purple with the power of the meteor, and he goes into his best friend's mind and he finds the image of Constance dying on the floor in front of him. And he just creates like a little clouded sphere around it to just hold it, contain it, so Shaggy cannot access it anymore.
So spend a D6 of magic points, roll a D4 and half it, and take that much sanity loss.
As that memory gets clouded, memories of me and the mystery machine and the gang are just flooding back. Like the time when Daphne bought us food everywhere, or when Velma was like helping me look through my contract with Snacks Corps and just like rocking out in the front seat with Fred while Fred's trying to like plug his ears as he drives because he doesn't like my choice of music.
Both hands off the wheel, driving with knees.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, just memories of me and Scooby just making our sandwiches, just eating all the good food. Just finally, the fact that I want to care about these people just comes rushing back. And as that happens, I just go, Scoob!
Raggy!
Oh, Scoob, man, I'm so sorry. I don't know what went over me. And I just give Scooby the biggest hug ever.
I give him a hug. I'm like, it's okay, Raggy. I understand.
Aww.
And just...
Scoob, we see some crazy things today, man.
Right, Rink, Rich Rhyme, revolve the wristry.
I think so too, man. I didn't get a lot of information out of Constance last time I was there, but you know what? What'd you guys find? You find anything good?
Yeah, we think we're ready to catch this baddie.
Yeah? Oh, golly, yeah?
Let's go, Red.
All right, so do you head to Davis Delights?
I would say yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes.
Let's confront this bastard.
When you hear something go bump in the night, or you swear you're being watched by disembodied eyes, and you're not sure if you can make it out alive, you gotta decide to run or fight for your life. A blood curdling howl in the air sends shivers down your spine. Tell me who's there. But sooner or later you'll find the monster's lair. Is this a crazy dream or a real life nightmare? There's no time to be scared. Don't get caught unprepared. The Hex Girls will be there, and you better dig deep, cause you gotta solve a mystery. There's no time to be scared. Don't get caught unprepared. The Hex Girls will be there, and you better dig deep, cause you gotta solve a mystery. Oh yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Call of Cthubidoo, created, hosted, and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jers, with artwork by Jordan Nelson. Our cast was Grayson Norman as Velma Dinkley, Daniel Cruz as Daphne Blake, Aaron Coffold as Fred Jones, Ben Magnet as Shaggy Rogers, and Jordan Nelson as Scooby-Doo. Our theme song and outro was Fight for Your Life, written and performed by Nicole Carino as The Hex Girls. Additional music this episode was provided by Below the Staff Music and Albert Yorfi. Listen to Call of Cthubidoo only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
Oh yeah, you got us all the mystery. Yeah.
As his father and current CEO Scott Davis transitions into his new council. Oh wait, hold on. Okay, let me take that up again.
Reading is hard.
It really is.
And welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I'm your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for, and to make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Well, if you're going to be making comments like that, I'm going to have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, all right?
All right. I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien. Premiering October 16th, 2024. Only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to...